Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with my co-host, Ryan Dobson.
Luann, I'm excited about getting started with today's program. We had such a good time in the studio yesterday with our guests, four people who have dedicated their lives to helping children.
Let me introduce them. We were joined by Mr. John Gibson, a successful businessman and Family Talk board member, Stu Epperson, the co-founder and chairman of the board of Salem Communications, along with his wife, Nancy, and finally, Mr. Peter Vanacore, who has worked with young people for over 30 years and now serves as the executive director of the Christian Association of Youth Mentoring.
All four guests are connected to that organization, which we call CAYM for short, and they are passionate about spreading the word about the impact of mentoring.
And actually, it's hard to hear their heart on the topic without even thinking about ways you can get involved yourself. Last time, we heard a lot about the problem of fatherlessness in this country, and especially how it impacts young men. If you missed part of that discussion, you will need to get caught up at familytalk.org.
Now, today, we're going to delve a little bit more into this topic. And we'll get started as our guests discussed helping young women as well. Here now are John Gibson, the Eppersons, and Peter Vanacore on this Family Talk broadcast.
John and the three of you have made references several times to mentors, men with boys. What about girls?
Yeah, we need, we always think of boys because they're the more likely to go to prison. And to become criminals and drugs and so on. But there's a huge need for girls, real huge need. And in some communities, that is more needed than boys, actually. The girls are a danger, at risk, you know, getting pregnant early. And their future is altered significantly. And the mothers, you need mothers to be mentored by adult women who are committed Christians.
You know, the scenario that doesn't happen too often, but when it does, it's absolutely tragic, where a woman will kill her husband or abuse him in some way, beat him up or whatever the circumstances are. Then you've got the father deceased and the mother in prison, and there's nobody for those children. Have you run into that, Peter?
Yeah, we've run into homes where the children are now with a grandparent, which is happening way too often now. Because of a situation like that, mom in jail and the father deceased or maybe in jail himself or just not around. And you see desperate grandparents, sometimes aunts and uncles. Often, though, it's foster care where the kids end up. And then what we have seen, though, is when a mentor comes alongside that child and provides that friendship, it brings stability, not just to that child, but can bring stability to the family. I was just reading a couple of letters that were written by moms whose daughters were mentored by a church in St. Petersburg, Calvary Chapel of St. Petersburg. And you could just tell in their voice that they appreciated those women who came in and mentored their daughters and to see the change in the daughters' lives. But you saw the change in the mom's life. And we actually train moms to mentor other moms. So if we match some kids, we often look to say if the mom needs a mentor also to help her through it, because it's difficult for a single mom trying to make it, even the best mom. Can have difficulty.
And once again, it comes back to your point, John, that they get to witness the bonding in a family. And I think of those young girls who need to see how a dad does treat his wife, you know, because that hasn't been modeled for them either.
And those letters, actually, the mothers were talking about how the mentors had changed their lives because not just the woman, but her husband got involved. And so they became friends as family together. And it had a huge impact on them.
Luann, you've got four children. As we talk about this situation, can you imagine how you would feel if Steve, your husband, were not there, if he had died or if he had left the family? And you've got those four kids, and you have the responsibility for them.
Well, Doctor, I'm just sitting here feeling wealthy. I'm sitting here feeling ridiculously rich because I do have a husband who will pour himself into the lives of our kids. And I just, I don't want to squander that. You know, we have an intact family and my husband does it right. Why are we sitting on that? Why are we not multiplying that, as you indicated, Ryan, into the lives of even one or two to keep that going?
Well, he still has responsibilities at home. Does that change anything? Stu, you got involved in mentoring when your kids were grown. Mm-hmm. Is that what you recommend, Peter?
80% of our mentors come from two groups, pre-kids and post-kids.
That's better.
It's, you know, it's the that young man or woman before they have their own children, and it's people my age where the kids mm-hmm. are gone and are looking to see how they can reinvest their mm-hmm. lives. But there is that 20% of people who find the time, and sometimes they're the busiest men around. Mm. To go out and they have kids at home, but to be not only an example to a young man in the community, but it's an example to their own children about how to be Christ mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to great, someone else in the
this
community.
This is great training, by the way, if you don't have kids yet. And it's also a great way to use your experience after your kids are grown.
Stu, I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to pull the mic away from you right now.
Oh, no.
Okay? You can no longer talk. And Nancy, your wife of how many years?
49
years. And you are a mentor mom because you adopted that son that we were talking about, or at least you mentored him for many years.
Yes.
What does that program mean to you?
Well, it has obviously just enormously impacted our lives. And just to have a situation that seems impossible mm-hmm. and to see the God of the impossible step in and change a life, it was absolutely...
How'd you feel about that 13-year-old coming into your home when you had finished the responsibility of adolescence?
Well, you know, he was such a needy child. He had come from a horrible divorce background. The parents... had such problems. They had even institutionalized him for a while because he was out of control. And he was so needy. It really did touch our hearts. And the good thing, he couldn't sleep at night, and I would quote scripture and just quote and quote and quote. And that young man finally learned the whole book of James and many, many, many verses and Psalms from memory because he heard it over and over. And to see him blossom, marry a godly young lady.
So you just go into his room and quote scripture.
At night, I would. He just couldn't sleep. He was so troubled. And I would just quote scripture. There's something so calming about the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, there were many days we weren't sure if we'd make it, but by the grace of God, we did. And he is one of the joys of our lives. And so many people have said, I cannot believe this is the same child. They were astounded.
You saved him, Nancy.
Well,
isn't that amazing?
His
life would have been totally different.
It would have been. In fact, he has written us and said, I wouldn't be alive. Mm. I know I wouldn't be alive. I would have destroyed myself. And he has thanked us over and over. But I was thinking as you were talking, I did want to insert one thing because so often it is busy, busy people who do the mentoring. Mm. And I'll just have to share one quick story about Tim. Tim's mother approached Stu and asked him if he could spend time with his son. And Stu said, oh, my goodness, I'm mentoring some other young people. I don't have time. But you know what? I'll pick him up for Sunday school because I always pick up donuts for the youth group. We have taught mm-hmm. ninth grade Sunday school for 100 years. And he said, I'll pick him up. So Stu would drive out a good distance, about a 20-minute drive, pick him up. They would go get donuts. And that was the only, hour in the week he could spend with Tim. But they would bring the donuts in, and all of a sudden Tim became the big Mr. Popular because he was bringing in the Krispy Kreme donuts. And I'll never forget, it was so sweet. And I remember after, doing this for months, and Tim, by the way, this was when he was ninth grade. He is now living for the Lord. Just a fine young man. But I'll never forget this. It was so touching. One day Stu said, Tim, well, who are your good friends? And he mentioned a few of the kids in the youth group. Stu said, well, who is your best friend, Tim? And Tim said, oh, you are. And that was so precious. This young man acknowledged Stu as his very best friend. And I'll never forget that. I was so touched. And he still comes to see us, and he's just a joy. So there are many wonderful success stories that make it all worthwhile. You know, I think of the verse, be not weary in well-doing. Mm-hmm. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. And I'll tell you, we nearly fainted any number of times. But thank the Lord we didn't.
And I'm going to give the microphone back to Stu. But before you go, Nancy, I want you to talk directly to the individual, the parent, the intact family out there that's listening to us today.
Well, let me just say it's wonderful when an intact family can mentor a child. When Stu could bring these young boys home and they would have dinner with us. And they always, at first when they came, they would want to eat and just hop up and go shoot baskets or something. But we had a rule. You had to stay at the table until everyone was finished. And we would talk. And, you know, these boys and girls learn to just love being part of a family. Mm-hmm. And I noticed something. If we would go to a church, say a buffet or a homecoming, and we'd go get the food, and I would always expect the kids we would take with us to go sit with friends or go off with young people. They always wanted to come and sit with us, two old folks.
Boy, that says a lot.
That always amazed me. They wanted to be with us, and I'm telling you, these children just love being part of a family, seeing a man and woman who love each other, who care about each other, who care about them. And we have so many come back to our home, come in for dinner, and just want to hang out. They do want to be with adults. I would encourage those of you listening to open your homes, open your hearts. Hey, an hour a week, 2 hours a week. You don't have to do something spectacular. Do something you normally do. Invite a young lady in to, let's make some cookies. Or, you know, just, hey, help put the dishes in the washer. I mean, they want to be a part. And it's not, you don't have to always think of entertaining things. Do what you normally do. Hey, I've got to run to the store. Come go with me. And you talk and you interact. And it's a blessing. It really is.
I'm glad I invited you to come to the table, Nancy. That is inspired, and I appreciate it. Now I'm taking your microphone away. We'll go back to Stu. We've got a few minutes left in this second program, and I want to make sure we give the details of how to get involved. What can they do? Maybe there's not such a program in the local city.
Yeah, often there isn't a program in the local area that or the one that is in the area just doesn't fit what they want to do. What we do is help the church to develop the mentoring ministry, so that we provide them with all the materials, all the training to develop a leadership team that can do safe and effective mentoring and do it, I think, as well as the professional programs do it. We have seen lay people rise up in churches, whether it's in Brooklyn or it's in a nice suburb of Atlanta, to reach kids that would probably be lost without having a great mentor in their lives. And if you read the letters from the kids and from their moms, you see the hope that is instilled in their lives through these mentors. But we provide all of the training materials that are needed. They all they need to do is go through, go to caym.org and look on our site. They can download a booklet called First Steps. And the First Steps booklet will help them understand what needs to happen in order to start a mentoring ministry.
And if anybody missed that, we will link to that, Doctor, at our familytalk.org page.
Dr. Dobson, Peter is a modest guy. But I think John would confirm that we looked all over the world to find the best person to tell people and come to a church and tell them how to do a mentoring ministry. individually and as a group. And
you will actually travel and do that?
Yes.
You'll come to any city, anywhere. If you want to start this in your church, a mentoring ministry, it's very easy, it's simple, and Peter will come there and take you through the steps and hold a series of studies, just a day and a half or something like that. And he has PowerPoints. He is absolutely the best person in the world to help you start a mentoring ministry in your church, and we'll have follow-up. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a continuing relationship. We simply want to help the church, the individual who loves kids, to do what they need to do in their community for these kids.
You know, I'm sure there are people listening to us today who say, you don't know how busy I am. Mm. I don't have time to add anything else. John,
I'd like you to address that.
Well, I'm about to ask you. You are a businessman. You build buildings. You manage your own real estate. You have got a lot going on in your life. You're on the board of Family Talk, the most important thing you do. And yet you're involved in mentoring kids. What do you say to those who say, I'm too busy?
I say selfishly that you can have an opportunity for joy. You have heard, our listeners have heard Stu and Nancy talk, and you've heard the joy that's in their voice. Mm-hmm. And that tells me that we cannot outgive God. Mm-hmm. When we reach out to help others, God blesses us and enriches our lives in ways that are almost incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm. And we've found in one particular area, Section 8 housing, that's for mothers with children with no husbands, and this government, largely government, sometimes privately owned Section 8 housing. You got to be below the poverty level. No men can be around. You'll have 100 mothers with 200 to 300 kids.
Thank you, Lyndon Johnson, for that, where the dads had to be gone or the mothers couldn't get money.
And you find ladies there and kids, and the mothers need a mentor also. And this is like a third world country, right, in the United States. They have some money, but they don't have that man. No men around, okay? And you would be amazed. I talked with one lady who has 5 children. She has a 9th grade education, and she's 21 years old. Mm. And I asked her about each of her children. What are your dreams for your children? And she said, oh, I want him to be a teacher, this one here, and I think he's going to be a doctor, and on. And I just thought to myself, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it can happen, okay, if we will get involved. It doesn't have to be like that.
And you do need an organization to help make the connection. Otherwise, people are suspicious of what you're doing there.
Yes. Yeah. Being associated with CAYM gives a level of credibility to people that they know there's a national organization that is supporting them. And we just don't train you and leave. We have a team of people that do the training and coaching of you so that you will have someone there who will call you regularly to see how the ministry is going, to make sure that you're doing the right things, but also that you can call when you have questions about what to do in certain situations.
Peter, what about parents with little kids in the home? I'm specifically thinking of someone like me. Do you recommend that they mentor a child and try to integrate them into their existing family life?
A lot of people ask, can I just take them with my own kids? And we say at the beginning, no, that's not the way to do it. The kids need one-on-one attention. And if you're with your own kids, you're going to be distracted along the way from that. Yeah. They need someone who's just going to spend some time with them originally, just one-on-one, and then get introduced to your family. For a lot of kids, it's very intimidating, actually, to go into a family situation. They've never seen it before. Yeah. And especially if you're working with a kid who's maybe underprivileged, and all of a sudden you take them to your house. I lived in a small house in Levittown, New York. But when I would take kids to it, they thought I was the richest guy in the world.
Yeah.
It was a 1,000 square foot house.
It has to be timed properly. We had a young man that was in our home for a time, and unfortunately it didn't work out well. But when he left, my kids said to me, Dad, we didn't think you loved us anymore. Because they will draw all of your time and attention. But there are times, I think the kids also got significant value because they saw what would happen to them if they followed the path this young man was following of drugs and other things and realized that that would destroy their own lives.
Very good point.
Doctor, it just strikes me looking at these three gentlemen here, the compassion that has come out of their heart. And I just want anyone listening who has been disillusioned with men to take heart, because what we are witnessing here is the reemergence of masculinity, godly fatherhood that is so important. And I just want to speak to that single mom right now who's given up. She said, I've tried everything. I've tried the programs. I've tried it all, and there's nobody out there. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. And right now, I believe the Lord just wants to restore hope to you to say, I've not forgotten your children. There is an answer here. Hang on. I will provide it, because we're witnessing that today.
All right. And for there to be men available for her, there have got to be men available to be trained and to participate.
But, Doctor, often we see that it's a single mom in a church who hears a program like this, and they're like the widow who is hounding the king. They go to their church and say, I need a mentor for my son, and there's 20 other women in the church who are in the same place. And some say, I need a mentor for my daughter. And they're saying, this is the call of God in our lives to do this. And what they do is contact us, and we help that church develop a lay ministry team that doesn't put another burden on the pastor. It's a lay ministry team that follows the best practices with our materials and support.
Well, tell us again how to get in touch with your ministry. I want to make sure we get the message across.
You know, you can go to caym.org and look on our website, and we have a link there to how to start a mentoring ministry. Click on that. You can contact us. You can download our First Steps booklet, and we'll give you a guideline of it. But contact us through our website, and we will work with you to move you and your church in that direction.
Mm. Well, this has been a very worthwhile couple of days. Thank you all for being our guests and for caring about kids. And John, we talked before the program started about the fact that the last time you were here, you and Stu came and talked about this subject. You had a tremendous response. You said for a year there were people that came as a result of that broadcast.
We doubled the number of programs that we had, the training sessions we had, because, Doctor, your voice carries throughout America. And we are so grateful to you to allow us to have this program. For 1 year after we last were on your program, we doubled the number of training sessions that we had.
Let's triple it this time.
Let's triple it.
Okay. Doctor, there was someone who contacted me this year who actually remembered your broadcast on mentoring from 8 years ago.
You're kidding.
And that's right. And
I've been banging away at this for a long time.
But that is what was amazing. They remembered that broadcast, and they looked us up on the internet.
Thank you. Stu Epperson, Peter Vanacore, and John Gibson, my great friends.
And Nancy.
Nancy. And thank you, Nancy. You don't have a microphone in front of you, but I appreciate you coming. And I would like to tell our listeners what happened right before the broadcast started. You have tried to memorize much of the Bible. By the time you go on to heaven, do you think you will have accomplished that?
Well, I hope so, but I don't know. I'm working at it.
Yeah. Well, you quoted Psalms 103 from memory. Just standing here, we were all in a circle. And that was a very precious moment. I wish we had time for you to do it again. But thank you for the woman you are, for the way you support Stu. I have great respect for you.
Thank you.
And even more so today when I find out that you brought a 13-year-old into your home and gave of yourself to him. We're out of time. Got to go. I love you all. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, We hope today's Family Talk broadcast has inspired you to consider making an impact on a child's life through mentoring. If that is the case, we have plenty of follow-up information for you at familytalk.org.
Primarily links and resources through our guest's organization. Again, it's called the Christian Association of Youth Mentoring. And you can also request a CD copy of this broadcast, whether it's for your own reference or to pass along to someone you know. Again, it's all at familytalk.org.
And of course, if you prefer to call for those resources, here's the phone number, 877-732-6825. 877-732-6825. And when you call, do keep in mind that we are a listener-supported ministry.
Thanks for listening, and we'll invite you to be with us tomorrow when we'll have a very special message from Pastor Shane Stanford, and he'll talk about the overwhelming diagnosis he received of being HIV positive.
It is an unforgettable story, and you won't want to miss it next time on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.